late. We'll try to finish on time. Excuse me. Okay, so let's begin with the... Let's begin with the some of the Gemaras, so just to get a background. Our next topic that we're doing today is the topic of Mima Enes. You can understand that this is obviously a very much bigger topic than we're going to have time to analyze right now, because it's many Gemaras later on. Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai. We'll talk about Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai a little bit as we move a little bit forward. But since it's here, and it's an important application of some of the issues, how Miyun plays out in the context of Yibum, so we should at least discuss some of the salient issues. So let me just talk for a minute about, the broader, some of the broader things to look for, and then we'll read a little bit of background material, and then we'll try to analyze, some specific things. Okay, so we've touched on Miyun a little bit. Anyway, I mentioned Reb Chaim previously, and that's going to be important to our discussion. So what is the context of Miyun, Gilad? What's the background?
When the mother or sisters, or brothers, I guess, of a Tana, marry her off, so she has the opportunity to cancel or deny it before she becomes a Gedolah.
Yeah, so we're talking about Kedushei Ketana, which is, there can be a Kedushei Ketana Doraisa, as we refer to in our discussions of Kedushei Katan, right? There seems to be a discrepancy between, either the capacity of Kedushin, Chalos Kedushin, or it's a different kind of chalos kedushin because the father, certainly the relationship between father and daughter, right, in halacha is different than that of father and son. That's also fascinating. So there is something called kedushei ketana doraisa. However, that's only through the father, right? Outside of the father, so ketana's kedushin is also going to be drabana. Right, and then that is reflected by the possibility of doing miyun, of her right of refusal. Literally, miyun means refusal, and then she can exit this marriage. So there are already two, questions to identify. The first is, what is the quality of this marriage, right? And that in two senses. Number one, there's always the possibility of doing miyun. So the possibility of doing miyun is kind of I don't know if it's a sword of Damocles, but it's, it's definitely something, which one could relate to, in different ways. You might say, well, miyun is an option, and until it's exercised, it's not something that we anticipate. It's a davar shelo bo le'olam. And it's a concession to Kedushei Ketana, but it has nothing to do with the quality of the marriage, right? It's, as I say, it's like a davar shelo bo le'olam until it happens. Or does the fact that there is this possibility and that she can invoke it, does that reflect on the quality of the marriage? And if so, in all aspects of the marriage, in certain aspects of the marriage, how would you break that down? Again, we're not going to, be able to pursue all these things, but since it's Bali Adenu, at least to raise some of the issues, to be sensitive to them, keep our eyes open in the future. The other side of the coin is that while there is miyun, and that might reflect on the quality of the ishus, right? The fact that there is a kedushei ketana doraisa shows that that chalos, can exist. So maybe that's a reason to look in the opposite direction, to say that until the miyun actually happens, right, we really do treat this as a proper kedusha. So just on the kedusha level itself, kedusha ketana drabanan, right, the question is joined, what level of kedusha? More important for us today and in this context is the question of miyun itself. What happens in miyun? And of course, that can be related or can be separate from the previous question. Right? If you think that the quality of ishus is affected by the potential of Niyun, right? So then the, you know, Niyun is already a central aspect, you know, in the Ishus. Even if you don't, the question is, how really does Niyun operate, right? We know of other exit strategies in the context of Ishus. There's a get, right? There's Misa Sabal. They themselves share a lot, but they're also quite different. And the question is, does Niyun have anything in common with them? We know that Niyun is Oker L'Mafreya, a get, and Misas Habal is not Oker L'Mafreya. In that sense, obviously, we're dealing with two different ideas. A get and Misas Habal are something very specific, right? They're generated, right? One is a reality, and the other one is generated by the husband. This is something which is initiated by the wife. Right, is that difference important in terms of how it works? In other words, the discrepancies are known to us. The question is, are these discrepancies, again, indicative that Niyun has nothing whatsoever to do with these other situations? And on the contrary, it's just a din that the whole Ishus anyways was, you know, practically just a heter, you know, of their, you know, living together. It wasn't a real Ishus, or even if it was. But the point is that Miyun is not a matir. It's not a termination of the Ishus, right? It's walking away from the Ishus, the Gloy Milsa the Mafreya, that it never existed. Or, as I say, notwithstanding the differences between Gittin and notwithstanding the differences to Misa Sabal, might we say that, you know, Miyun is the termination of the Ishus, and if that termination takes place or has the impact of being retrojected right into the past, in other words, it has the ability to rewrite history legally, right? That doesn't mean that it isn't some sort of a maisa hamatir, some sort of an ishus, right, solution. Moreover, might we not go even further, right, and say, and that's where Rav Chaim comes in, that you know, while this does rewrite history, maybe it rewrites history in a very selective way. Because if we really see Miyun as something, you know, in the parsha, let's say, in the ballpark, you know, with Gittin and with Misa Sabal, as something that really terminates this kind of ishus, but it is considered to be some sort of a termination. So again, the adjustments, the fact that it's Rabbanan, the other things, you know, may justify its ability to reach back and to be L'mafreya. You might even say, this would be very important, that Miyun, right, in order to be effective, has to be L'mafreya, because maybe that's the access point. The whole point was that this Ishus, you know, to begin with, right, was based on a toes, or at least wasn't based on a toes, but the point is the access point of getting out of it is the point where you got into it. And therefore, it is L'mafreya. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be L'mafreya, L'mafreya, we'll use that expression, meaning a complete rewriting of history, you know, mitchila v'yad sof, like it never happened, so that even if you could, you know, go back in time, you know, it still never happened, right? Maybe the access point is L'mafreya, or just because we're more liberal and flexible because of this drabanon, right, so the effect is L'mafreya, but as we said, it's a kind of mikanu l'habal L'mafreya, in the sense that you know, we don't deny that the past took place, we're just rewriting it. Right. And then, of course, what we'd be saying is that this is, again, the termination of an ishus in some sense. Might still be quite different than Gittin and Misa Sabal, but it is belongs with them on the same page. It isn't just an akira l'mafreya, you know, that there never was an ishus, because on some level we are acknowledging that there was an ishus. So that would be number one. That would establish Miyun as a more formal act, as a matir of some sort, etc. Moreover, it would then challenge us to try to figure out which issues and which dinim, right, depend on l'mafreya, l'mafreya, and which dinim depend simply on mikano l'habal l'mafreya. In other words, which dinim of the past depend on, right, the present perspective on the past, and which dinim, for which dinim is it sufficient that the historical past dictate. You know, the historical past and the present perspective on the past, right, don't have to be the same. Which dinim depend on which? Another way to formulate this, I'm not sure if it's the same, probably not, but definitely overlaps a lot, is to go back to the idea that we spoke about the other day in a different context, the idea of a manifest destiny or something that unfolds like a process, basically. Right, we talked about this in the context of Brera and in the context of Zika and other things, meaning sometimes, you know, again, not just because of the difference between the present, you know, perspective on the past and the chronological, sequential, you know, progressive past perspective on the past, or its perspective betoras, history and the past, but sometimes because we're dealing with a certain, if we are dealing with a certain process, so then the process produces a certain result, and you know, we can argue that that process either was always meant to be, right, or you know, even if it wasn't, but that still, you know, has impact mitchila. But at the same time, we don't deny, you know, that it is a process. And then to the extent that, you know, what produces that lemafreya is, right, a process, anything connected where there's a chalos to the process is going to be something which we legally recognize. Okay. So to be more specific, well, let me just raise one other question first, and then I'll get back to being more specific. Right, what are the limits on miyun, and to what extent we view it, you know, as being connected to the ishus dafka? To what extent is it an act of ishus, etc.? Okay. So broadly speaking, you know, I think what I'm trying to suggest is that there are, broadly speaking, with a lot of, again, in-betweens, two perspectives you could take to mean. One is the idea that we're just basically wiping everything out, lemafreya, lemafreya, nothing took place. It's an akira lemafreya, it was a kiddushin de rabbanon. Question in that circumstance would only be whether or not miyun requires still a framework of ishus drabanan, or at least a tziruf to ishus drabanan. By which I mean, you know, how late can you do miyun? And that's an issue which comes up, you know, in a bunch of places. In the context of marriage, you know, certainly you can do miyun. Can you do miyun after misas Haba? And if you can you do miyun only after Misa Sabah in the context of some sort of Zika and Ibum? Right? Either Betoras itself, we'll get to that in a second, or Betoras, a Hemsheikh of the original and a Tziruf there to the original Ishus. Or is it possible to extend that even further, that as long as you feel the impact, let's say, of the Ishus, so you're still Mitzuruf enough to the Ishus to register your miyun? Right, even if there is no longer a husband, but if the impact of the husband or the ishus is still chal, so you're still mitzuruf enough to get out of ishus in this miyun way. What if it's not even that? What if everything is over? There's no tzirufim. How far will you go? Can you always do miyun when you're a ktana, even if there's no obvious tziruf anymore to the ishus? That would be a question, I think, even if we take the view that miyun is lemafreya lemafreya, especially if we still see miyun as something, as a way, in other words, of ending a certain kind of ishus. Even if we take the view that it's not about ending a certain kind of ishus, it's the prerogative, right, of ishus ktana. Again, is there some need to be connected to the state of ishus in miyun, or not even that? On the other side of the ledger, if we want to say more, again, do we consider it a matir? Do we consider it to be any way comparable to get to Mises Abal? Is the mafreya just about the access point? Is there kind of mikando tahabala mafreya, as we've discussed in these various different ways? Okay. Again, just to highlight what I meant about the Reb Chaim, hopefully everybody saw it, but Reb Chaim in Hilchos Ishos, right, tries to explain why it seems that niyun, you know, as effective as it is in wiping out the Ishus Lamafreya, right, is not effective or doesn't seem to be rewriting history with respect to certain things. Mizonos, right, Mitzia, Hafaris Nadarim possibly, right? So he comes up with this idea, again, of, you know, of sequential Lamafreya, right, and retrospective, you know, limafrei. Question is it only mizonos and afaris nadarim, things of that sort, where acknowledging that historically that was the past is sufficient, and that's what happened when it happened was important, and there's no need to continue to look at the past, you know, from the lens of the present in the same way, or maybe there are other dinim as well, especially if you take the view, as I say, that this is a process kind of halacha. So are there other dinim for which acknowledging that there was a process that led to this lamafreya lamafreya is going to be important? Okay. With respect to the question of how connected do you need to be, you know, at the time of miyun to the ishus, the problem is, again, what do you need and where do you, how do you assess also various ishus connections. That's going to be very relevant to, you know, our present topic. Is there miyun in a state of zika, right? And is there miyun with respect to zika? Is miyun only applicable to being oker a real ishus, right? And especially, again, that entry point of the actual, you know, kiddushin itself. And the suin itself, right? Or is there such a thing as miyun in the context of zika, for zika, and limited to zika, where there's no akira sakidushin lamafreya, but there's simply hafkas hazika. Right? That would be a very sensational kiddush, but something which very possibly does exist. And how does that work? What are the parameters of that? Does the reinforcement of ishus in the context of kiddushei katana make miyun more difficult? What does that mean? Meaning, if you like pass a certain hurdle, a certain stage, right, would it be more difficult, you know, either to gain access to accomplish miyun, or even if you could gain access, but to have the ability to overcome that ishus? It's, after all, an ishus, which is more mivusas, more strongly rooted and anchored, because it already had a certain measure of impact. Right. That also may be important for the question of yibum and zika. If this ishus already created a nefila liyibum, does nefila liyibum represent a stage of progress? That's what I'm suggesting, is that when it comes to the zika issue, right, there are really two questions. Or three questions. Number one, in the context of zika, do you still have enough kesher to go back to the original ishus, assuming that you need that framework? Number two, is there a concept of miyun lezika itself? Number three, is miyun more difficult in the context of zika, or does it necessarily have to focus on the zika rather than on the nisuin or rishonim, precisely because the Nisuin or Rishonim, right, is not just more inaccessible, but it's also less, you know, revocable by virtue of the fact that it's already had an impact. You can wipe something out, you know, Lemafreya, you know, more easily, you know, if its impact isn't quite as dramatic. Okay. So these are some of the issues that we need to look at. So part of our topic is to examine miyun and to raise and to look at some of these questions. Again, we're not going to be able to spend so much time on it. We'll spend today, and we'll spend maybe, you know, I guess one more day maybe when we come back. And then after that, we'll discuss islandness. We'll try to move more quickly. So that's one issue, just to raise some of these questions. A second question in this context of this topic, which is very important to us, is what are the various perspectives on Miyun in the context of Yibam and Zika? What do they tell us about Zika? Right? I've already referred to some of the issues. Right? Can you talk about accessing or going back to the original Ishus if you're right now in a stage of Zika? Right? How, to what extent is Zika part of that original Ishus? The old question. Right? The question I mentioned a second ago. Does Zika or Nefila Le'ibum represent a Chizuka Ishus, or, you know, a stage in the Ishus which makes Miyun more problematic? That's also a question about the nature of Zika and the Chi of Yibum, right? Especially, as we said different times in the year, if we don't see Eishes Ach only as an obstacle and a hurdle to be overcome, but we also see it as part of the Mechayiv of Zika and of Yibum, again, hearkening back to the discussion about, you know, Ein Yisr Chalal Yisr, and whether that, you know, if you say Ein Yisr Chalal Yisr and there's no Eishes Ach, that that is actually a problem for Yibum, rather than being, you know, a solution for Yibum. Right, so again, that's question, the second question. A third question, to what extent is Zika an independent kind of an Ishus that you might be able to talk about Miyun specifically in the context of Zika? Now, it's not going back to the being Oker, the original Ishus, but actually having the ability to, you know, narrowly, right, just address a Zika. And here, of course, another question connected to our previous topic addresses itself, and that is, what about if there's more than one brother? Does that make a difference? What about Miyun L'chatzi Zika? Right? That may get us into the question again of collective Zika, single Zika, etc. So, what I'm suggesting is that in addition to the Miyun issues, which I've just raised, right, on a kind of a scale, right, to what extent we just see Miyun as, this is a flimsy Ishus, you can be the mind whenever you want, maybe there are some artificial limits and maybe not, or it's a process, it's a termination of Ishus, right, it's etc. In addition to all those questions, I say the application of Miyun to Zika raises several important Zika questions about Zika's connection to the original Ishus, about Zika's independence, about Zika's individuality, etc. And of course, you know, in addition to all of this, we always have to analyze the applications, right? I mentioned the Reb Chaim talks about Mitzia and Mizonos and Afaras Nadarim, right? For our purpose of our sugya, right, what we're going to have to look at a little bit is tsaros, right? Tsaros erva in particular, but tsaros in general, and tsaros memayanes, you know, whether it's erva or not, one issue, and a second issue, of course, is krovid or krovos, as the case may be. Right? What impact does Miyun have in the context of Yibum, right, on other Kurva relationships? Okay. That, of course, is the discussion of the Rambam and other Rishonim. Is it some special Yichus to Kalaso, right, and what is that all about? So again, getting back to what we started with, these are the things that we want to look at. You know, one whole approach to the whole sugya is just to say Miyun is a din drabanan, the Ishus is drabanan, Miyun is a, you know, an exit strategy that is very, very, you know, very widespread, very has great scope, and the only considerations that we really have to look at, the only limitations, things that seem to be contrary, right, to that, you know, practically open license perspective, are all based on Marasayin, you know, or other Syagin, right? If you allow this, people are going to think that, and so on. And that's the way that some Rishonim relate to all the issues in our sugya, as well as beyond our sugya. The other possibility is, again, to take this approach, which obviously, again, I'm more inclined to, which is that instead of seeing miyun just as an absolute license, right, and the kiddushei ketana, you know, as an absolute just arrangement without any kind of real chalos, which justifies such an allowance, to see kiddushei ketana as really an ishus, to see miyun as something which differs from considerably, but still is connected with gittin and misa sabal. And therefore, to look at some of these, whether they're I mean, they're mostly Darabanan anyway, but to see these Darabanan distinctions, whether it's, the Iser to the Ach Shemianabo as opposed to other Achim, whether it's a distinction between different Krovim, as the case may be, to see them as reflecting, right, some of these other issues, right? Things that are noveya from the process aspect of issues, from the present perspective, from the past, and so on. So that's really the perspective that we're going to take. Okay. So to facilitate this, let's begin with just a little bit of background information. Again, miyun is a whole massive topic, which I'd love to do, but I just don't want to do it now. But let's get a little bit of background, at least going forward. So before we do our sugya, let's start with the Gemara. The Gemaras later on, which are the main Gemaras on Kuf Zayin. Okay. Kiva, you want to do the honors? Beis Shammai. Let's just start with the Mishnah for a minute. I'm not sure if I gave you that specifically. But yeah, just to go through the Mishnah first, and then we'll go to the Gemara. You have to really read the Mishnah in order to understand what the Gemara is talking about. Anyway. So. Okay. So already Beis Shammai, right, reflects a certain perspective. Right, seemingly. Right, Beis Shammai, anybody who's going to put it this way, anybody who's going to impose limits on miyun, right, is more suspect, at least, of thinking that miyun, that there's a real kind of an ishus, drabanan, right, and that miyun is a method of terminating that ishus, drabanan. Therefore, if it goes too far, or if it's of a certain character, then miyun is going to be ineffective. Again, if it was all about, you know, chalos ishus, drabanan, just being an arrangement, not a real ishus, and you're just being able to walk away or rewrite history, you know, with impunity, then all the any limitation, right, it needs to be understood if you take that perspective. Now, some of the limitations, I said, may be understood in more technical terms, either because of Marasayan-type, Siagim-type issues, or you might say, as I said before, that even if miyun is about walking away from this arrangement, which, you know, we just, for lack of a better term, call ishus, or kiddushei ketano, or because it could end up being kiddushin when she's a gadola, but it isn't really a kiddushin, and this isn't really, you know, a termination. It's just a, you know, a decision, you know, to discount the whole thing. But still, you still need, and maybe at minimum, you need some tziruf to the ishus, and you can't do that with impunity when you're not even connected to the process anymore. So, what level of connection to the process, right, or to that first moment, do you need? That might be that's kind of a quasi, fundamental issue. Even if you take the perspective that the ishus is flimsy or not an ishus, the miyun is a huge license, right? Nonetheless, there still might be some limitations. However, those considerations and the siag considerations aside, if we find, you know, other distinctions, and especially the more limitations that we find, the more we suspect that we're treating this as a more significant ishus. Now, treating it as a more significant ishus makes it more difficult to terminate b'derech miyun, right? But you still might say that the miyun, when applied, is a lamafreya, you know, undoing of the whole thing, waving the magic wand, you know, and getting rid of the you know, not only the impact, you know, or the record, but of the event chronologically and sequentially as it happened too. Certain limitations would imply that miyun, right, isn't even that. It's not just that certain level of ishus or substantiated ishus is no longer subject to miyun, but that miyun itself is a derech, you know, again, it belongs in the same breath at least with gitin and misa sabal, albeit on a drabana level, and therefore there are circumstances in which it'll work and circumstances in which it won't work. So it isn't only about the strengthening of the quality of the ishus, it's also about understanding either, you know, the temporal aspect of miyun or just the character and the mechanism of miyun. Anyways, in broad terms, if you just look at the Mishnah, some of this is undone by the Gemara, but if you just look at the Mishnah, the impression that you get is that there's a whole slew of issues between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel with respect to miyun, and the impression that you get is that Beis Shammai is taking both the issues of Kiddushei Ketana much more seriously than Beis Hillel, and is limiting, you know, the capacity of miyun. Now, it could be that in each case it's a local machlokas, there's another siag, there's another marasayan, there's an argument about the shir tziruf to the original issues, etc., etc. But I'm just saying the cumulative impression, you know, initially anyways, is that there's a pattern, and that pattern is about something more fundamental. Okay, so when we have Beis Shammai say that miyun is only barusos, right? Beis Hillel arusos unasuos. Okay, what's the next one? Right? Below biyaba. So that's very relevant for us. Right? What's the point here? Either that yibum is not mitzuraf sufficiently. Again, this might be, again, a yibum issue. Or this is even erusin, obviously, because if it was a suin, Beis Shammai wouldn't have this halacha. Eruse habal. But once the baal dies, right, there's no longer miyun. So again, this could be explained in terms of the relationship of Zika / Yibum and the original Ishus. It could be about that. But once again, it could be about the scope of the Ishus or the nature of the miyun. Okay. Either way, Beis Hillel say, the Baal Ubiyava. Oh. So, yeah. Basically, Beis Shammai are of the opinion that miyun doesn't work for Zika, and that in the context of Yibum / Zika, you also can't access the ishus of the original Baal either. We just don't know which of these points Beis Hillel disputes. Beis Hillel thinks that there is something called even miyun dafka b'zika, or that Zika is still connected, or Yibum is still connected sufficiently to the original Ishus, that you can be oker the Ishus. Right? We should be on the watch for the nature of this halacha, that there is miyun b'yibum according to Beis Hillel, and we'll soon see that there are different perspectives in the Gemara. Okay, let's continue. Beis Shammai omrim b'fanav. Yeah. This already seems to relate not to the quality of the Ishus, right, but again to the act of miyun, and specifically to the idea of tziruf, to him and to a certain moment that connects to him. Go ahead. Again, is this a more formal act? You'll see the Gemara has different views, but the impression, go ahead. Amrlem Beisila Beishamai. Now again, it could be a local, separate issue, meaning on a policy level, are we going to allow, you know, this katana, this, you know, femme fatale, you know, katana, to be going around, you know, getting married off, you know, to 20 different people and being mamai, you know, breaking everybody's heart, and she's already got a dozen marriages or non-marriages, you know, under her belt, you know, before she's a gedola, right? That's benos yisrael hefker. We allow that, right? Or is the point that you know, everybody agrees that we don't want benos yisrael to be hefker? The question is, you know, not that, but you know, what's the nature of miyun? What's the nature of isha shoktana? Is this something that we can limit? Okay. So again, if you look at the Gemara has different perspectives on some of these issues. The Gemara seems to actually close the gap between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in some of the issues, as I already mentioned. You can see that right from the very beginning. Right, my tamid Beis Shammai shein tanai b'nisuin, you know, implies that this is kind of a right there prerogative that she has. Again, on a certain level, even with the Gemara's closing the gap between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel and some of the issues, and seeing some of the issues as, you know, a side you know, question or an assessment of drawing the line and siyagim and marasayin and other things, the overall impression still remains that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel have different perspectives on miyun. But we'd have to go into, you know, much more detail in terms of the other Gemaras and the Rishonim to establish that more fully. I'm just talking about at least our initial impression. Okay. Either way, the Gemara in the bottom of the Amud, Yarn Kuv Zayin Amud Aleph, Akiva, discusses the problem of Yavam, because that's obviously our real topic. So this is a very interesting question. We're on the lookout, right? Is both in terms of tziruf to the original ishus, which is both a miyun and a yibum question, as well as the possibility that zika in its own right, would be subject to miyun, which is also a miyun and a zika issue, but a different one, right? Whether zika is itself a kind of an ishus, separate from it being a continuation of the original ishus to the you know, original mace. So the Gemara is going to zero in and discuss this problem a little bit. So what does the Gemara say? Am Rav Oshia. So what does that mean? Oh. And what do you make of that? So again, this is within the context, as Beis Shammai said, that once you reach a stage of Yibum, right, either because the Ishus has been strengthened or because you've lost the access point, certainly there's no, again, Miyun for Zika per se. So Beis Shammai doesn't have this whole discussion, right? There's no Miyun after the stage of Yibum. Question is, according to Beis Hillel, as we mentioned before, like which of these points, or all of them, does Beis Hillel, you know, have to dispute? So Rav Oshia comes along, and Rav Oshia again closes the gap between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Basically, the view of Rav Oshia, again kipshuto, for the moment, is that what, Akiva? There'll only be miyun after Yibum. There'll be miyun after Yibum only if they're only in the context of Maimar.
Well, it seems to me also that he would allow, he might not, the continuation of the Gemara says, Arabia de Valkarfa, seems to be that even after the Via of a Yavash, would be also, as I thought. Because it says, Arabia de Valkarfa, and it said, oh yeah, that's right.
Right, so either the Maimar or the actual, yeah, that's already because then you have the real issues with the Yib. That's correct. Yeah, it's a good point. Okay. So you're right. You're right. Kiva's, let's just read another line, actually. Go ahead. You're right. I'm Rav Chisda, my time, Rav Oshia. Oshia. So this is a very, just from a Zika point of view, this is a very fascinating Gemara, right? Again, the Gemara doesn't say Hikna Lo Min HaShemayim here, right? We discussed how limited, you know, that phrase is in the Talmud, right? But the Gemara does say that Zika Derachmana, something close to it, Zika Derachmana Ramale Lo Matzi Okra. So the question is, what does Rav Oshia really have in mind? Originally, the Gemara thought this is about Bal Karcha, right? The Gemara says that can't be because of Yibam itself, as the Kiva correctly pointed out. So, if the distinction is between something that is generated, you know, by the Baal or the Yavam, right, that is something which is nitan to be neutralized by Miyun, and Zika Derachmana Rami Alei, we just don't know what it means by that, Lo Matzi Akra. Yeah. One thing that emerges from here is that Zika, right, according to Rav Oshia, seems to emerge as a different kind of a chalos. Right? Again, that's part of the formulation. Rachmana, Rami, Allah. It doesn't seem like a technical point. Right? You know, Miyun can undo what man, but not what the Ribbono Shel Olam creates. The point is, it's a different mechanism. It's a different chalos ishus. Once is Yibum, so that again, Hare Ki'ishto L'chol Davar, let's say. So then you're dealing on, then you're back to a regular Baal and Isha, and since it all started, it's Ketana, so she's an Isha Ketana. It all started off with Ketana. Again, there is Isha's Ketana Doraisa. This wouldn't be an issue, right, if we were talking about, Isha's Ketana Al Yedei Avia. Then you just get into the regular issue of Yavama Ketana. We talked about Yavam Katan in this course of the Sugya of Yavama Ketana. Right. But in this context, the point is that there is sufficient Siruf, especially afterwards, that Miyun is applicable and Miyun will work. But Zika is not subject to this thing. So it appears that there are two points to what Rabbi Oshia is saying. Number one, while there is Miyun in the context of Yibum, there is no Miyun for Zika per se, directly, right? And that, not only that, but the state of Zika doesn't give you access to be Oker Nisuin or Rishonim either. That would appear to be the position of Rav Oshia. If you disagree with Rav Oshia, right, you could say either the Miyun in Akhanami, there's no access at this point to the Nisuin HaRishonim in a state of Zika. It's not sufficiently Mitzuraf. Right? But, and again, it's ironic, because you might say, right, that after a Yibum, there is. Okay, because that's already Hashlamas Ishus HaRishona. Being in limbo, in terms of accessibility to the original Ishus, may be worse, right, than being Mashlim. You could have said the opposite. You could say, oh, now it's Ishus Shel Shimon, it's no longer Ishus Shel Ruve. But we can understand that point. So the access to the original Ishus, to be Oker Itlma Freya, you don't have through Zika according to Rav Oshia, and you don't have an independent din of Miyun Shel Ishus Shel Zika, let's say, either. So the next line of the Gemara is Ula, go ahead. Ula Amar. So what does that mean? He disagrees. He expands the argument between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, right? Not only in the context of Yibum, Mamoro and, you know, Yibum, but even in the state of Zika, there is a din of Miyun, says Ula. Ah. That, but Ula tells us more than that. Nisui Kamai Ka'akra. By saying that, it seems like Ula is telling us exactly. So you have a mitzaref to the original Ishus in your Oker Itlam Afreya, right? But in Achanami, I agree with you, Rav Oshia, that there is no Miyun for Zika. Okay? Good. Excellent. Yeah. Okay. Again, the implications of this are important, because it's not as if he said, he didn't say Yesh Miyun L'Zika, and he also didn't say probably that, well, we're not sure about this. He also didn't say that you don't need a mitzaref. Right. Okay, I'm not sure about that part. We'll get back to it. Eisvei Rabbala Ula, go ahead. Yeah, where is that? What's that a quote of? Yeah, our Mishnah, right? Beis Hamid Aleph, right? Or Beis Hamid Beis by that time. Kol Shichol on the mind, v'lo miyana, tzarasa choletas v'lo misyabemas. So the question is, v'amai? Yeah, meaning, if once you hold there is miyun in the context of not only Maimar and Yibum, but actually Zika as well. So why can't Miyun be Machshir, right, Yibum of the Tzaros? Okay, that's a good question, because, and again, it's based on this assumption that we're Oker, the Ishus Harishona Lamafreya, so there never was a status of Tzaros Erva. Ah. So here the Gemara says something very, very important. Okay, so this is a very crucial line, Akiva. Why?
Basically, they can't, like, not that Nami right, it really should be okay the whole thing, and Sarah Sarah should be fine, just the Mara sign.
Okay, so that's one way. There are two ways to read this line. That's one way to read the line. No, 100%. That's probably the way that most of the Mefarshim read the line. Right. That, again, that's what I meant when I said originally, right, that there are two perspectives you could have in this whole Gemara. Right? One is that there's a lot of inachanamiing going on, and, you know, there's also a lot of, Marisayan or other siyagim going around. And for sure, again, that is probably the dominant view in the explicit Mefarshim. Right. What's the other way to explain the Gemara? Maybe. Yeah? There's a shame, tzaras, erva. What, let's explain a little more. In other words, we're not saying that. What else do you need to say?
You have to say that in a hanami, you ochre the zika, even post the nefila.
Well, you're even ochre the ish, the original ish.
That one shame is the fact that the mitzias of the nefila covet a relationship between the erva, who's the bas miyun, and the tzara, sufficient to say that there's a real chalos iser that we register even from the past that goes forward.
Exactly. In other words, what we've been saying all along, which is, if you take the view that miyun isn't an akira lamafreya, but again along the lines of Reb Chaim, I'm not saying Reb Chaim said this. He said what he said. You know, it's hard to know how far he pushed it. But once you have that yisod, and possibly this is, you know, a perspective in Beis Shammai, and we'll see, you know, some other indications of it as well. Meaning, if you look at miyun as, you know, a development, or you look at it as, again, you know, there's the history of the past, and there's past history. I don't know. I thought I'd try that out. Right. Again, you know, there's looking, you know, in the rear view mirror, and then there's just, like, you know, remembering, you know, how sequentially, you know, you went through life. So the point is that, as we said before, which dinim depend on our present perspective, you know, about the past, and which dinim depend on acknowledging that before we rewrote it, right, this ishus took place. Right. So if that's what we're talking about, and we see miyun as, you know, a decision to be oker the ishus, so it's possible that there are aspects of that ishus, right, which are not ne'akar lemafreya. Again, we're talking about a drabana level here, because we're talking about ishus drabana. So the question is, the Gemara originally thought that tzaras erva, right, is nek, if the erva is ne'akar lemafreya, the tzaras erva is ne'akar lemafreya. But if we take the view, as Sam said, that tzaras erva is midrabanan, tzaras erva drabanan in this case, right, is a, because it is only tzaras erva drabanan, because she's subject to miyun the whole time. Ketushei ketana. But even tsaras erva drabanan is a chalos, right? So the akira lamafreya is about the ishus. Didn't necessarily knock out those other relationships. And here, again, we get back to, you know, we still have it, you know, I said, you know, juggling in the air. A little bit about, we haven't finished our discussions of tsaros. But we know that there are different perspectives on tsaros. And that tsaros aren't necessarily about eshesach. They may be about chalos, shame, right? Tsaras erva. And this would be chalos, shame, tsaras erva, drabanan. So the point is, if those relationships are generated, right, by certain associations, but it's not the mechayiv of that association per se, then that might be something that is a mikanu lahabala mafreya, that is not a mikanu lahabala mafreya, obliteration, but is only a lamafreya obliteration, if you understand what I mean. In which case, is that what the Gemara means also when it compares kalosso? What's the point of kalosso? The point of kalosso is that, you know, this is the famous line, this is the line of Rami Bar Yecheskel, right? Once the, you know, if the miyun took place while the marriage, you know, was in a, you know, a normal early, or just a normal state, namely, you know, ex's son, you know, married a ketana, and therefore the ketana, midrabanan, is the daughter-in-law of ex. Right? And then she decided, in a typical case, to be mamayin. So what happens when she decides to be mamayin? You know, the Yiddish people will say, you know, ois kaloso, right? No more kaloso, that's gone. Right? Right, Avigdor? Yeah? Yeah. However, as the Gemara, that's what Rambam Bar Yecheskel says, however, if there's Yibum, so then the fact that a Chas Nefila, right, it wasn't just that, like, what does this really mean? Right. Again, if it's Mar Sayin, it's Mar Sayin. It's the way it looks to people. Like, people were reminded again, I said, oh, it wasn't just that the, you know, beautiful chasana with this, you know, 5-year-old girl that the father-in-law was beaming, you know, like a father-in-law should, but, you know, he didn't beam again. He was probably, you know, crying. But the point is that his status as the father-in-law, like, was revisited at the moment of the nefila. So what? So just forget about that. We could have forgotten about the first one through a miyun lamafreya, but we got so far, and you know, we're reinforced. So this is really a marasai. That's one way to look at this whole daughter-in-law issue. Or, no, that's not what we're saying at all. What we're saying is that the ishus in some way was reinforced. Right? I think there are two ways to say this. Either way, what we're saying is, had this been, you know, at the normal stage of an ishus, so of course that's, you know, it doesn't matter whether it's mikano l'bal l'mafreya or it's l'mafreya. But once it was, you know, reinforced, you know, by the yibum, so in a way that highlights a different aspect of this relationship, and that is that it isn't just, say it this way. It isn't just agav bno, or to use the language that we talked about earlier in the year, it's not just being megalev knaf, you know, bno, if he had a relationship with his kalaso, the child died, so there's no more megalev knaf bno, but there's still his kalaso, right, with who he has an Issa relationship with, because there has yet to have been a miyun, is now omedes liibum. And what that highlights is that in addition to knaf bno, there's an aspect of kalosso, right? And maybe what's igloi milsalama freya, right? Mikanul habalama freya, neakar is the status of aishes bno and knaf bno. Because from the present perspective, that never even happened anyway, right? But the status of kalosso, which of course, was generated by that ishus. But as we've explained many times, sometimes when something is generated by an ishus, it still has an independent status. So that independent status, which was highlighted on a drabbana level at the moment of the misa of the nefila liyibum, right, of kalosso, is something which isn't subject to, I'm talking about this all drabbana, but the nature of the drabbana, it isn't subject to being rid of by miyun. So the Gemara says that same yesod, that same idea, this is the alternative to saying the Marasayan idea, that same yesod applies to tzara. Could you have been mechalik? Sure. But the idea is that tzara's erva isn't a din in the gilui knafa erva, but it's a din in an extended korva. It's the shame tzara's erva. And consequently, that's not nakar in the mikan olahaba of the miyun. That isn't a din in the ishus. That's a din in the practical, right, sequential consequence of the ishus. That part of it, you know, has to do with not history of the past, but past history. Or you can switch them, whichever one you think means more what I mean. But as you understand, maybe that would be the idea. That would be a sensational way to read the Gemara. Now, Rashi, we'll get to in a minute, sometimes seems to say this fundamental idea, and sometimes, you know, seems to be going back to Marasai. We'll look at some Rashis. I don't know if we'll get to it today, but when we wrap this up the day that we return, certainly we'll look at it. But this is a way to read the Gemara, and it would be an important way to read the Gemara. It's going to be a way to suggest, at least partially to suggest, a solution for the Rambam. Right? What's the problem with the Rambam, Ike?
The Rambam says, in the case of Kolei Chol Neva'eni, that says, what if she actually does me into the Yavam, still it's Kolei Chol Neva'eni?
Say that again?
The Rambam's case, when he's dealing with the Tsaras Bito, the Ma'enis, right?
Here's Mima'enis at Tsaras Bito, okay.
And he said, even if she doesn't do Mian in the life of her husband, but she does Mian to the Yavam, still it's Choletzes Lo Misaveres.
Still it's Choletzes. Why is that a problem?
Well, if you thought that the whole issue of the Kedusha Ketana was just this, we're waiting to see whether she does Mian or not, so once she actually does Mian, then you shouldn't have.
Oh, I see. Okay. Okay. Very good. Let me think about that one. I think you might be right about that. That isn't what I was referring to, but that works out well. That's the Rambam in Yibam. I was referring to the Rambam in Gerushin. What's Rambam Gerushin, Uri? You see it? Jason? But I hear what you're saying. We'll get back to that one. I want to talk about that also. Kanan? There's only an Iser of Kalasa. But the Char Krovos are Mutter. What?
Mutter.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah. You have the language of the Rambam?
I don't have it in front of me.
We'll look it up in a second, hopefully. So the question is... Oh, thank you. Ma'enes biyavam asura la'avid b'pnei shenira kekalaso be'es shemez b'no avalashar krovav. Again, now there is certainly an aspect of nireis, there's no question about that, but what I'm suggesting is because that highlights or reinforces, you know, this aspect of it, avalishar krovav muteres lefikach. That's a strange question. What does lefikach mean? In miyana be'echad min ayivamin, we'll have to explain that, muteres la'achir. So we're going to get to the Rambam. First I want to get through the Shach Matari Gemara, but there are, you know, three problems basically, you know, in the Rambam. Number one, the distinction between kalaso and everybody else. Unless you say there's more Marasayan for Kala than there is for some other relative, maybe. I'm not sure why that would be. According to what I'm suggesting, Right? There are other suggestions that are according to Migdats. I told you to look at the Taz. Taz has two suggestions, one in the name of his father-in-law, the Bach, and then he has his own. But I don't think they're such satisfying suggestions. I hope we'll get to it in a couple of minutes. According to what I'm suggesting, there might be a difference between Colosso and other Krovos with respect to this perspective on the impact of Miyun. Okay, that's one problem of the Rambam. Second problem of the Rambam is his Raya, or his connection, Lefikach, you know, to the Achen. Because the Pashtus, it seems like the Achen problem is a totally different. The Heter Achen has nothing to do with Krovim or Krovos, but it has to do with the Heter based on the continuation of the Zika. Right. So that equation is difficult, and the word Lefikach is particularly difficult. That's the third point. I mean, it's not only does he equate them, he seems to say that the Heter Krovos, right, is the basis for Achen. Sounds like it's more than just an application or an example, but that, you know, one perspective leads to the other. And that's strange. Also, what does the Rambam mean by that? Okay, we'll get back to it. Anyways, so that is, so far we've done Rav Oshia, very important shita. And now we've discussed Ula, and we're just not sure. We've raised the question whether or not Colosso and Tsaras Mima'enes, right, is just a Maris Ayin halacha. Or, again, are there aspects of the Maris Ayin, perhaps, but what it's really all about is, you know, the limits of Miyun, and therefore a revised perspective on the character and the scope of Miyun. Okay, so we're going to get back to that. Good. What about Rav? Let's continue.
Oh, Rav. Miyun abaze asur lazeh.
Yeah, so Miyun abaze asur lazeh. What does that mean? And what does it mean, firstly? If there are more than one brother, sorry? Yeah. So what do you think about it? So the Gemara, itself explains. Midahava. Oh, so what do you make of this? By comparing it to get, again, you could say that this Gemara shouldn't, don't get so excited. You know, it's a Maris Ayin Siag thing. I mean, you'll think that this is true in Gittin too, and therefore we operate in Yibum, we operate in Miyun this way because we don't want you to make a mistake in terms of get. That's, again, the innocuous way to read the Gemara, even Rav. Or, Akiva, but what? That Rav really holds that Miyun is comparable being compared to get, and that more specifically, that it relates to the Zika. And therefore the point is, it relates to the Zika, because if it was Oker, the original Ishus, the Mafreya, because of the access point, like we were saying for Ula, right, then what's it got to do with Midi Dehavia Get? Right? It basically establishes that there's no Zika, there's no Yibam, but there's no Isra Ishusach, there's nothing. Everybody should be Mutter. In fact, the bigger question would be, as we'll have to discuss this as well, why is the you know, the Yavam Shemien Bo, or the Ach Shemien Abo, why is even he excluded? Or is that also only just Marzai? Right? But certainly you wouldn't say that that it's Midi Dehavi Aget. It sounds like we're comparing it to Get. Wow. And that this is something that relates to the Zika, in which case it isn't the typical, you know, Akira Lamafreya of the Ishus Harishona. Okay. Again, is this also a kind of Mikanu Lahaba? Something like that. Either way, there's no Akira's Ishus Lamafreya under these conditions. Okay, what about Shmuel? Yeah, so the question is, what is this, the Amra? Yeah, so the question is, what does this mean? What does Shmuel mean? So one way to explain it is that Shmuel is saying, you know, I fundamentally agree with Rav. This is a din in Zika, right? However, I just disagree with him in that it's midi dahava get. You can have a selective neutralizing of one Zika without affecting the other Zikas, unlike get. But in principle, the idea that this isn't an akira of the ishus, but it is a din in the Zika, right? That's acceptable. Who holds that way? Excellent. Right? The Balamor. In what way? How does that express in the Balamor? Exactly. So he says that Ula and Shmuel are two different dinim. Ula holds that Miun is Oker the Ishus. Shmuel holds that Miun is Oker the Zika. The problem with that is, as the Ramban and the Rif and the Rajba, all the Rishonim seem to disagree with the Balamar. Partially, they're bothered by the Argamarian base, Amud Aleph, Akiva, that what? We'll get to it in a minute, but. Yeah, because the Gemara asks about tsaros. The Gemara says, why are the tsaros not mutaros as well? Right? So that's Ramban's kasha. How can the Gemara ask that if you hold like Ula, that there's an Akira Lamafreya, so that makes sense. But if you hold that it's just a din in the Zika, so good. So why should that be matir the tsaros? So we'll have to figure out an answer for that in the Balamor. Either the Balamor will tell you that's gufa, the question of the Gemara, and the answer. What's the answer of the Gemara in Yud-Beis Amud Aleph? I'm going to read it inside in a second. But what's the answer? The Gemara then quotes what we had here with Rabbi Yechezkel and all of that. So. One way to read the answer of the Gemara, let's say you read the answer of the Gemara the way I suggested a minute ago, which I think is the way the Rambam read it. Namely, that it's not a Marasayan, Inachanami, 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 Lamafreya, Lamafreya, everything is gone, etc., but Marasayan. But, rather, Miun doesn't work here because this is about, right, the remnants, you know, that we still acknowledge, you know, even post-revision of the old history, the old acknowledged history. Well, so if that's what we're saying, that could be exactly what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying, you think this is based on Akira Lemafreya? In fact, it's based on Miun as a, you know, not exactly Get and Misa, but Shmuel doesn't differ with Rav so much. He disagrees with Rav on the scope of it, but he doesn't disagree with Rav on the character of it. And that might be the answer for the Balamor. Or, we'll have to go back to this. Again, that day when we come back, we'll look at it again. Maybe there's another way. Maybe there's something about the nature of Miun canceling at least one Zika, but not all Zikos, but canceling that one Zika, which also should affect Tsaras Mima'enes. Now, even if it's only about the Zika, right, but maybe it has to kind of eliminate, you know, this Ach to such an extent that even Tsaras Mima'enes, right, is excluded. Okay, so we'll vis-a-vis him, we'll get back to that. Other Rishonim disagree, right? Again, the Ramban Udi'imei, earlier the Rif, they think that Shmuel is based on Akira. The question is, Akira Legamri, meaning going back to the Ishus and nothing to do with the Zika? Or it still has to do with the Zika? Just the brother who, Mianabo, he's Mufka, because not only the Zika, but the Ishus. But the other brothers, do they remain zekukin la, and does she require chalitza? Or if you hold like if you hold that Shmuel means like Ula, will you say that even the other brothers are, you know, paka zikasam, and she's mutaris l'shok l'mafreya? What do you say about that, Kiva? You ask the answer I'm asking? That's vis-a-vis, you know, the brother whose zika is definitely neutralized by miyun. Right, you have the machlokas in Balamar and the other Rishonim. The other Rishonim think that the other brothers are also, that vis-a-vis the other brothers it's also Nekar L'mafreya, or it's more like a, you know, a selective miyun still. Okay, so that's a group of Rishonim. It could be also that is the debate between the Rambam and the other Rishonim. Possibly. Right. Why? Because what does the... You want to answer it or you want to... Okay. What does the Rambam say? The Rambam says, as we pointed out before, that the Lefikach, right? The Rambam seems to equate Achim and Krovim. One of the questions that the Rishonim ask against the Rambam is the reason that the Achim, according to Shmuel, are permitted to her is not because, even after the Miyun of the first brother, is not because there's no Iser Kurva, right? It's because, Elliot? There's still Zika. So those Rishonim seem to assume that even according to Shmuel, even though they disagree with the Balamar, that with regard to the, you know, the Misha Mianabo, right? It's like Ula and it's Nekar L'mafreya, but they still think that there's an element of Zika vis-a-vis the brothers, correct? Right? And according to them, they're pretty clear about it, and that's the Ramban, the Muki Yosef, that whole group of Rishonim, it's pretty clear that according to them, for example, she requires chalitza before she can be involved, you know, with anybody else. Again, if it's just Maris Ayin and so on, then it's just about the brothers. And for that matter, even if there is, let's say, or the question would be, if there's only a single brother, and there was Zika, I'm sorry, and there was Hafka, right? It seems like there was Miyun. It's possible that even then they would say that she... Well, the single brother and that she requires chalitza. Okay. This is anyways the way that the Beis Shmuel understood the machlokas between the Rambam and other Rishonim. Beis Shmuel, in the piece I told you to look at in Kuf Ayin Gimel, basically says that according to the Rambam thinks that, you know, this is all about Akira Lamafreya, and therefore the problem of Kalasso and the problem of the brothers, at least that's the way the Beis Shmuel reads it, is the same problem, right? To what extent, in rewriting history, are there no relatives to be posel? Right? The answer is Kalosso is Asura, and everybody else is Mutter, and that's why the brothers are Mutter. That's part of the Lefikach. Yeah. However, the other Rishonim would disagree and say, no, all Krovos are psulim. Kalasso is just a hechatimtzi. Right? They'll say, what about Achim? Why are Achim mutarim if everybody else is asur? The answer is because it's based on Zika. Until there's a chalitza, the Zika is a heter of Eishas Ach. Okay. So the point is that even within Shmuel, there seems to be, there's a machlokas, the bigger machlokas, Balamar and the other Rishonim. B, even within the other Rishonim, right, there seems to be possibly a debate between one group of these Rishonim anyway, versus the Rambam. And again, we'll see the Lishonos. I just can't do it now because we don't have enough time. I want to get through the Shalak of Atarius first. We'll see some of the Lishonos later on. But this is going to be very important because, again, this is about the scope of the special din you know, that miun can affect zika, which says something about zika as a kind of an ishus, but also limits miun, right? It's not akira lamafreya of the ishus or rishon, put it that way. Okay. So the other way to read, so that also becomes important in terms of understanding this line in the Gemara. The Gemara says, "V'lo dami lebala saget," right? Bala saget who de ka'avid ba hacho he ka'av de bay. So basically, if you read like the Balamar, what we're saying is the comparison to get and miun is a good comparison, but you have to adjust it a little bit, right? The adjustment is that get is posel. Right, all the achim, it's mafkia collectively the zika, or it affects collectively the zika. Whereas what she does, right, affects only the zika of one brother. But in a chanami, this is about me and the zika. If you hold the other way, namely that this is about akira lemafreya. So then the Gemara's answer is a more fundamental answer. The Gemara is saying, listen, if we were talking about a matir, that would be something that he would have to do. What we're talking about is the major the waving of a magic wand to say that there's no ishus. The fact that she can never instigate, you know, a heter ishus. All she can do is say, you know, sorry, this was just an arrangement, or igloi milsa that it's just an arrangement. However you understand it. So the fact of avdahi and avad who isn't the difference in terms of, you know, is this a psul or is it also a posel, right, which is a small difference, but it's still a din in me and shalzika. Rather, it reflects that there's no such thing as me and shalzika. How could there be me and shalzika? Because it's something that she does, right, that highlights that this is Akira Lemafreya of the original Ishus, at least vis-a-vis him, right? And then there's a secondary debate, what about vis-a-vis the other brothers? And that's important, we'll get back to that. Okay. Okay, now that by the same extension, De Amra lo ra'ina bach v'lo tzavina bach, right? Bachu de lo ra'ina ha-bechevrech. Ra'ina, is that a way of saying, you know, this is a more, isn't it across the board posel? It's a psul, and she can be matir whoever she wants, right? Or is it a way of saying, you know, with respect to him, right? The ishus is igloi lemafreya lochal. If one of the other brothers wants to be miyabim me, then I'm holding off on my miun, a conditional miun, let's say, more than a selective matir. Okay. Then you have Ravasi. Go ahead. So this, of course, highlights, like, why shouldn't you say that for everybody? Right. So again, if you say igloi lemafreya, that there's never an ishus, so why isn't she mutaris lo bataras nachri? Unless that's, again, marisayin, or everybody will agree that at least that part is part of the past, you know, which isn't wiped out. Right? But either way, Rav Asi's of the opinion that miyana bazeh mutaris afilu low. Yeah. Now the Gemara wants to know what's that based on. Lema karav osha svira lei. Go ahead. And therefore what? The heter is betoras eshes ach, meaning it doesn't have any impact. Okay. Okay. But if that's true. So now we have a new concept, and that is you can't be selective. So either the Zika is going to work for everybody, either the Miyun is going to work on a Miyun Zika level for everybody, or not. And maybe this has to do, again, with collective versus individual Zika. Okay, keep going. Kiyasa Rabban Amar Yochanan. Right, below, delo. Okay, very good. So that's one. Then you have the Gemara on Kuf Ches Amud Beis. Let's just go through the Gemaras quickly, and then we'll come back to it all next time. And we're going backwards a little bit, but you have the Gemara on the bottom of Kuf Ches Amud Beis. Right? Did you see it, Akiva?
Yeah.
Okay. Bram, yeah. Yeah, so what's the case here? It just takes us, you have to scratch your head a little bit to figure out what's going on here. All right, so what is going on here? Okay, so he has an aunt, but not just a regular old aunt, an aunt, a maternal aunt. So
then
she's only a shniya.
Then her husband dies, and then she marries this guy.
He marries his brother.
Her nephew's brother from the father, which is completely fine.
And then, no, she's not related to him at all. Because
no.
She was related to the nephew through the mother, and the nephew and his paternal brother, right, don't share a mother. So basically, he now, that was a perfectly fine and good marriage, and everything is Shalom al Yisrael. Okay, but now what happens is a poor guy dies. So she's no felas liyibum to her nephew from the mother. So now it's a shnia situation. Shnia is an obstacle for yibum. So the question is, can she do miyun, right, in order to pave the way for a yibum beheter? That's the question, correct? So you can understand very well that what's particularly interesting about this case is the tziruf. There are two problems in the case, right? One is the tziruf question, right? This, she didn't do miyun while her husband was alive, that's for sure. She didn't even do miyun after he died vis-a-vis, right, a yavam or a zika. Like, there's nothing left of that original marriage, right? Moreover, a third point, you might at least have said, again, I'm streamlining a little bit, you might at least have said, this is a Ritva's, a little bit of the Ritva's discussion, you might at least have said, you know what, there's still a remnant of the marriage because the impact of this marriage, right, the impact of this marriage exerts influence on some other Isha's matter. So even though the husband is gone, right, there's no remnant of his marriage, even in a Zika Yibum Gilgal, right? But that's not even true either, because it's one step even removed from that. Meaning, the Yavam, right, meaning, she married an Achri. She married somebody who has no problem whatsoever. So her second marriage, right, the only reason that the Yavam has a problem with her, or the only reason that there's a Yavam situation now, is not because of her kurva, of her Eshes Ktana, but because of her being the wife of his paternal brother. That is nothing, but that's even a giant step removed, right, from any Ishus type, you know, obstacle, chalos, as well. So, is there still tziruf to the first marriage, or is there, forget, even if you don't need tziruf, if you need some sort of a hilchos Ishus, you know, a type of justification to do miyun, or you don't, miyun you can do anytime, anywhere, right? Now, partially that's what the Gemara is asking, just it doesn't have the rest of all the rest of that baggage, right? Yesh, miyun, go ahead. La'achar misa. Yeah. Wow. Ooh. There's a lot of stories there, right? I mean, there's something going on there, right? The Beis Asurim and the money. Okay, go ahead. Yeah. Okay, so the pashas of the Gemara is that you can't do this. So number one, two things. Number one, the Rif quotes this on Kuv Zayin Omid Beis, right, the Rif quotes this Gemara. Is that right? No. Sorry. Here on Kuv Ches Omid Beis, the Rif quotes this Gemara. Where does he quote it on Kuv Zayin Omid Beis? I don't remember. Does he quote it on Kuv Zayin Omid Beis? He doesn't quote it. The Nebuchadnezzar Yosef and some of the other Rishonim say the Rif not only paskins that relatives, you know, even after Miyun are Asur, he even paskins that way with respect to Shnios. Right? And then the Nebuchadnezzar Yosef adds, you know, after saying this, right, this of course contrasted with the Rambam, right, who we know says only Kalaso, he's saying not only is it not limited to Kalaso, it applies even to Shnios. And then the Rif says, however, right, there could be, and then the book says, however, there could be another explanation for this Shnios case, which might not be so telling. Ah. And then on the side, if you look on the side of the Rif, they have the Chidusha and Shashem, or whatever it is, but other Rishonim say this as well, they say it in different ways, we'll try to catalog it when we finish with this, that this might be not just Midin Kurva, but what? It might be related to the issue that I just mentioned a second ago. Because, right, this, when the Anshei Hashem says it is, Kiddush Anshei Hashem, is that this Miyun is taking place, never mind not in the context of the Ishus itself, but it's not even after he died. It's after he died and she married Beheter Gomor with no complications, a totally different person. Right? So to say that you could do Miyun on this, that's the reason you can't do Miyun isn't necessarily because of the problem of Kurva. That you can't wipe out a Kurva problem through Miyun. Maybe that isn't the issue. The issue is that you can't do Miyun because there's no tziruf, because, you know, it's not to the husband, it's not to his extension, the yibum, it's after another nesuin, and I was adding before, moreover, it's not even, the kurva remnants aren't even there then, right? It's so far connected. So this is an interesting question. Is this a tziruf problem, or is this a kurva problem? We should also note that the Rambam, this is going to be another couple of minutes, the Rambam, Akiva, leaves out this halakha. And the Nosei Kelim ask about it, right? And the Lecha Mishnah says, oh, but we'll have to get back to it still. I think he says that the Rambam is Lishitaso. Since the Rambam holds, that's if you hold like the Nebuchadnezzar Yosef, that the Rif's Psak, which is based on the Gemara, right, is connected to the psul of Kurva. A Kalasso is no exception. But the Rambam holds Kalasso is an exception. Even Doraisas, right, are Mufka. By the way, I should add, Rashi Alatar here on Kuf Chesod Bey says, we wouldn't have even been asking this question, right, if this was a real Erva that you were trying to wipe out as opposed to a Shnios Larayos. So again, Rashi, right, seems to be saying that there's a difference between Shnios Larayos and Erva, and that the problem really is a kind of a Kurva issue. It's not just a Tziruf issue. But the point is, if you take that perspective, so then that's a Lecha Mishnah's Ha'ara. The Rambam didn't quote this case because the Rambam already told you that everybody but a Kala is permitted. If that's true for a real Kurva, it's certainly true for Shnia Larayos. Okay. Good. So that's this Gemara. Then we have our Gemara, our Daf on Yud Beis Amud Aleph. So let's just look at that for a minute. And Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. And this is the background. That's what we did in the backwards order. Kiva, go ahead. Tzoras Mima Enes is Asur. That's a din. Again, this we can go quickly because we already know. Go ahead, Leman. Okay, so this, again, I'm not going to discuss right now, because we have only 2 minutes to go, but the Gemara here is phrased, Dilo of the Behumaisa, right, didn't appear previously. And the Gemara is now trying to explain why it is that there's a difference between him and his brothers. As we said, is that a Marasayan issue? Is that a remnant of the past history, the history of the past, you know, the Mafreya la Mafreya, the Mikan la Bala Mafreya? Right, what is it? Here the Gemara says that it's connected to the factor of Lo of the Behu Maisa. Right? One could have said that it's about, you know, Miyun and its impact only on one Zika and not on other Zikos. Right? Yesha Zika, Yesh Miyun Lechatzi Zika. Is another way of saying Yesh Miyun Lechatzi Zika saying of the B'maisa, Lo of the B'maisa? Right? Or is this a different point? Either way, what's fascinating is that Tosas here asks the question, well, if this is really what you're saying to explain the discrepancy, what are you going to say about Tzara? All right. Well, the next line of the Gemara, go ahead. Tzara Nami Lo of the B'maisa. Right. So Tosas asks, you know, I don't understand the question, because the problem of Tzara is the problem of Tzara's Erva, right? That's the Mechayiv of Tzara. The problem of, right, read it very quickly, Tema? Yeah. Right? It's not that you should look at the Tzara independently, you should look at the Tzara as an extension of the Erva. So this again is consistent a little bit with what we were saying before about possibly, aside from Marasayan, right, seeing Tzara's Erva, you know, in terms of Kalosso, especially for those Rishonim. Okay, let's continue. Gzer Mishum. The answer is Gzer Mishum. So this is where, again, once again, where the Gemara is establishing this equation. And we have this one more time, just very quickly, and with this we end, on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, just we'd get that Gemara in quickly. Right? The Gemara says that on the Mishnah, Kol Sheyicholu L'Mayin, that's just a repeat of the Gemara later on, Utimayin, V'hashtet V'tzitziyavim. So I guess we have once again this phrase. So basically to leave, we're going to stop here, but let me just leave you with this again, the thought that we've been developing, which is that there are basically two perspectives on this Gemara. Right? One is that we're talking about a Miyun, which is Oker, or the Kiddushin, or the Nisuin HaRishonim, and then the only question is, what about access points? Even then, if that's the, you know, if you take the more, you know, this is an arrangement, this is a, you know, magic wand undoing of everything, right? So at best, you either are going to have Marasayan limitations or Tziruf limitations, and you have to define where you draw the line in Tziruf. And certainly that's the view of many Rishonim in the Sugya. The other possibility, as we've been saying, is that this is a din of Miyun, which is closer to Gerushin, and meaning it's a solution to an Isha's problem, a certain kind of Isha's problem, and a certain kind of solution. And then the question is much more challenging, and that is to figure out, you know, what is Nekar Lemafreya and what is not. Here you have a possibility that also we're going to treat Zika like an Isha's, and Miyun will be a targeted way to neutralize, you know, one Zika, where the question is, what about Chatzi Zika? Is it Chatzi Zika? And so on. And which dinim, as I say, depend, in addition to Rab Chaim's Metzia, Mizonos, you know, Hafaras, Nadarim, what about certain Krovos as opposed to other Krovos? Maybe that's the point of the Rambam in Kalasso. And what about Tsaras Erva, which the Gemara equates with it? What about the factors that the Gemara is highlighting in those circumstances? And how does this also fit in to the Rambam's language, which I want to pick up with when we come back, of Lefikach with respect to the Achim? I say there are two other explanations in addition to the one that I'm suggesting. You should look at them, the Taz and his father-in-law, the Bach. And I think there are problems with each one, how to explain the Hemshech of the Rambam, so we'll try to tackle that and the other Lashonos and the Rishonim and the other Shitos when we return. I wish everybody a Chag Kosher V'Sameach. Sorry we didn't have more time for Pesach things today, but we barely got to our Shachar Tarias. And when do we come back? On the Monday? The Monday. So let's assume that we'll have, again, that. So we'll continue with this topic on the Monday, and you know, hopefully the Tuesday we can do Islandis, and we'll move forward. I'm not sure how much time we have, but we'll figure it out. Okay.